And hallelujah. All right, Zephaniah chapter 1 again. Zephaniah chapter 1. Last week, as we introduced the book of Zephaniah, I extremely hate the usage of the minor prophet label for like Haggai and Habakkuk and Zephaniah and some of the other ones. I extremely hate it because a lot of people, when they call it minor prophet, they think, well, that's not that important. When in reality, it's super, 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 super important. And Brother Scott, now that I'm doing better, you must have the microphone. Okay, I'll get that for the next service. Anyway, the lapel mic. So anyways, we get into Zephaniah. Remember in Habakkuk had started it out, and it is a book of judgment. And Zephaniah, we see a book of judgment. What's going on over in the Middle East is not taking God by surprise. He is allowing it to happen. Now, how it fits into the future events, no one knows. And anybody that tries to think they know is a fool. I don't know how many of the 51 years being around the church house, things going on in Israel, or things going on in Europe, or things going on here, or things going on there, somebody tries to preach a message on, and we know the end times are coming. That's told to us in the scriptures. But where are we at? All I know about the future is the next thing on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, and that's all we know. We know that that's before the great tribulation and many other things. Now, don't put your head in the sand. I hope you understand I cleaned up that statement pretty good. But don't become naive. Don't become ignorant of these things. It's amazing how crazy people are today. But the Bible said that evil will be good and good will be evil. And they'll chew on themselves. And they're doing that a lot, especially the Democrats and the Republicans even that. It's a real shame to try to label yourself, but I'm a conservative Christian, and that's about all you can go by because there's so many out there that are frauds and fakes. And so as we get to the book of Zephaniah, I want you to notice a few words and a few thoughts. Verse number 1, the word of the Lord which came unto Zephaniah, the son of Cushai, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah. Now, one of the last reigning kings that was good, and some of the last reigning kings of Judah, because Israel, the northern tribe at this point of Zephaniah's writings, they have been taken over by Assyria. And God told him, he said, unless you follow me and worship me and love me, you can forget it. You're going to see tribulation. You're going to see problems. And then the southern kingdom, which is Judah and Benjamin, they are given a respite. But the problem is Babylon's coming. And that's what we see in the book of Habakkuk. I think today, and I'm trying not to make it like this. I want to be encouraging in this. But even in our morning service with the rich man and Lazarus, we're going to look at some of the doctrines. And so, Brother Scott, this is still the introduction to Zephaniah. But in this morning, we're going to look at, maybe for the next 2 to 3 weeks, of the doctrines of Luke chapter 16. And one of them I'm finding with Zephaniah, with Luke 16, and much of the Word of God is the idea of the wrath of God, the condemnation of God. Listen, beloved, that is a very real thing, and there are a lot of people that dismiss the wrath of God. As I told you, I guess they don't take into account Sodom, Gomorrah, and Noah's flood. I keep going back to that mom up in DeWitt that said to me, God doesn't hate. I said, you better read your Bible again. God hates the workers of iniquity. And they are the ones that have rejected the truth of the Word of God. They've rejected the truth of their sinfulness. They've rejected the truth that God is a God of wrath. There's too many people that they have the idea. And then you get into some older writers, English writers in the 14 and 1500s, they said that man was basically good, whereas the Puritans and the Separatists said man is basically evil. My Bible tells me that men and women are evil. And there's other writers that kind of stay in between, and they do that since the books have been printed. Of course, 1400s, you're talking, Heidelberg. Well, no, it's not even Heidelberg. All right, I just lost the name who built the first printing press. But the point is, Beloved, in every book and in every writer's mind, they'll have a different view of mankind. Now, the reason why we know that man is basically evil from head to toe. Now, the Calvinist calls it the total... David, get your brain in gear, would you please? Total depravity. Now, I don't agree with any of the Calvinistic thought. None. But we are wicked from head to toe. They just want to describe it from a Catholic position. They want to describe it from the quote-unquote Protestant position. And I'm going to chase this rabbit trail right now. You and I am not a Protestant. Because I've never yoked up with the Catholic Church. Of course, the Catholic Church says that I'm going to hell no matter what I do. And they're absolutely wrong according to the Word of God. I can remember when the Bible was coming along, and I'm trying to remember the Pope, and there was another gentleman. You're talking late 1600s. When they read the New Testament, their thought was, well, either this book is absolutely right and we're wrong, or this book is trash and we're right. Well, the Bible's always right, and you and I are always wrong. Here in verse number 2, I will utterly consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. Now, there's some words I want you to either, you can circle in your Bible, or you can consider in your notes if you're writing notes. I will utterly, the first word is the word consume all things from off the land. Verse 3, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. So just in the first two verses, as we introduce the book of Zephaniah, once again, consume, consume, consume. There's a few passages throughout Scripture that uses this word consume, and here in this passage it uses it 3 times. So what is the idea of consuming here? Now, there are some thoughts on the word consume. For example, you consume food. I consumed that peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I consumed this. I consume, and that is in the area of eating. There's also things that we consume. You have consumers in the business world. What are they doing? They're using the product. And customer service, consume, comes into all of that. Now, that is a good thing. But I wonder if you and I as a believer consume the bread of life. Do we consume the water of life? And the Lord Jesus said, you drink of my water, you shall never thirst. So there's a water and there's a meat to the word. Do we consume the meat of the word, or are you still babes, still drinking the milk of the word? Can God take you further in your growth as a believer to get you to where you can eat meat? And we understand that. And that's why he uses illustrations of children. He uses illustrations of babies. Instead of being a baby, and even our preachers, and I'll get to that in a moment, but our baby... where the pastor has to constantly feed you milk because you won't go home and grow so that you can eat the meat. And I'll tell you, friend, your spiritual growth, listen, God wants to grow you up. But if you don't want to grow up, you won't. And that's going back. Brother Carson and I have been talking about this rightly dividing the word. And even in the pulpit, for the most part, preachers have got sermonettes for babies in bassinets, and they want to keep them so they have a control over. I tell you, a pastor that does not realize that Jesus Christ is the head of the church is a fool. And there's so many pastors out there, independent Baptist. I tell you, I see it in the independent Baptist world so often that a pastor becomes a dictator and a tyrant. Now, let me say this. Pastoring is a soft tyranny. You have to listen to God, and it's going to make, at times, I've noticed in my own life that it's made everybody mad. And you just have to keep moving forward regardless of that, as we see in the Scriptures, in Jeremiah's world and some of the other prophets' world, you don't fear for their faces. I think probably the greatest fear you have as a pastor is making sure you have monies coming in for your home. Now, I'm thankful here we've had our high days and we've had our low days, but regardless of that, God's always provided. when I look at my back surgery and how God has provided there for the monies, and then also for the knee surgery last year, the things that are going on. I've noticed in your world too, as you tithe and give offerings, you'll be amazed at what God takes care of. You might find something on the clearance rack. But as a consumer, I wonder, are you growing? Are you consuming the Word of God? Now here in this, he says, I will utterly, verse 2, consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. Now, the usage of the word consume here is that of destruction, death. Death is real, and we're going to look at that in Luke 16, one of the doctrines of Luke 16. Of course, we've seen lots and lots of doctrine, and if you rightly divide it, it will keep you from believing heresy. You know, there are some that believe this and some believe that, but once you start looking at the Word of God, Scripture, comparing Scripture with Scripture, you're going to find that in that, it'll keep you from believing stupid stuff. It'll keep you from believing in heresy. And there is so much heresy in the church, no matter what's the name over the door. And that's what I want us to guard against. That's why we don't have a very big crowd. We don't have a very big crowd because we have come together as believers and we refuse to wrongly divide the word of truth. And I'm thankful that we all work together like that. Those that have left us, it wasn't a difference of opinion. What it was a rejection of truth. I remember many years ago, we had a struggle here in the church, and a lot of families left because of one family and their wickedness and corruption. And they were upset with me, so basically they're trying to starve us out. I've seen it in a lot of different places over the years. I never thought I would pastor a church that would have that problem. One writer called it this way, unintentional dragons. They don't realize it, but their life becomes just such a cesspool of wickedness that they're willing to destroy and to chew on God's people. And by the way, every person alive is capable of that. Right. Especially, what's that, ma'am?
Just like
murdering. You and I are, every one of us, susceptible to it. Now, what keeps you from murdering people? The Word of God, the Holy Spirit within. That's the kind of thing that helps you not to give everybody a piece of your mind. We've talked about that many times. But he says, I will utterly consume. It's not just a little bit, but it's a complete destruction. Hold your place there and come over here to Psalm 5 with me. Psalm chapter 5. Psalm chapter 5. Now, when you look at these scriptures, you have to understand, this is God saying this. I have to believe it, I want to believe it, and I'll receive it. Look at verse 5 of Psalm 5. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Verse 8, lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Now, what the greatest part is as a believer, and beloved, none of us perfect, but there is a difference between being righteous and unrighteous, than having an upright heart or a very wicked and dark heart. Now we notice in Jeremiah 17:9 that the heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it? Understand that. But over time, as you get more light in, that darkness is removed as you grow, as you consume the Word of God, as you consume that light. Your eyes are the window to your soul, so to speak, in that when the light comes in, you get a whole lot more light into your soul. But understand, even David called them his enemies. Look at verse 9 of this. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. To condemn and to be so wicked, last night President Trump had another hit on him. And I'm going to tell you right now, the Democrats are praising it. It is amazing to me, of all the years that I have been living, and there ain't very many, it'll be 57 this August, but it just amazes me how people will vote with that politician that praises anybody being shot at. It's putrid. It is wickedness. It is the workers of iniquity. Yes, I'm trying to tell you, there are many of the politicians that we have, God hates them. But if I'm not careful, now I'm saved, I know I'm under the blood, I know I'm sealed, ready to be delivered one day, I understand that. But if I'm not careful, I can still be that same human being. Will God hate on me? He still loves me. But the problem is there's consequences when daddy sees it as sin and condemns it. I tell you what, beloved, it's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of an angry God. God is a God of war, we find throughout the scriptures. As you verse 10 of this. Let me finish verse 9. For there's no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. I kid Brother Ray about the Wolverine-itis, and that is kidding, and that is joking. I don't care what team you, I do to an extent, but you know it's not so much what team you may root for. But I can tell you right now, it's depending upon either the God of this world you root for or the God of glory. Which one is it? And you're going to find out, if you were to analyze your life with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit's help, there's a lot of things that's against God in our lives. I stand here guilty. I don't know about you, but I stand before you guilty. But I want to be righteous and upright. And I didn't say anything about being perfect. There's only one that lived a perfect life, and he was God. And they crucified him. But thank God he arose again for you and me. Look at verse 10. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. Come back to Zephaniah. And so that's God's outlook on these ones that he's going to consume. Let's go back to verse 2 of Zephaniah 1. It comes after the book of Habakkuk, right before the book of Haggai. So this is Zephaniah, the word of the Lord. Verse 2, I will utterly consume all things from off the land. Now, he mentions this, and there's a lot of folks that will come along, and they have some different ideas. We know that there will be a new heaven and a new earth. Amen. A new heaven and a new earth. There are some out there that believe that when God destroys this earth, we're talking about after millennial reign, after the great white throne judgment, that all he's going to do is send fire across the earth and then start all over with this. That's not what the Bible teaches. God is going to destroy this earth, and he's going to have a new earth and a new heaven. Brand spanking new. Brand new, with the tags left on it, type of brand new. That brand new smell that we try to get little air fresheners to put in our car. And if you have teenage boys, you know that don't last long. I've known the girls to toot a little more than the boys even. So my point is we always try to get that new, correct? Well, God's going to do it new. And this is the thing that gets me. So, Lord, are you saying that golf ball I hit is only temporary? Lord, that car I have is only temporary? That home I have is only temporary? Beloved, you better be glad and thank God for the fact that the things of this earth are all temporary. Because they're tainted with sin, your sin and my sin. And that's Zephaniah, consume all things from off the land, saith the Lord. Now, the thunder of this word consume comes from the fact that it comes from God's mouth, God's mind, God's heart. In a righteous way. And a lot of folks will close their eyes to the wrath and condemnation of God. And, he's a loving God. And you know, friends, I am glad, thank you, Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. I'm glad it wasn't his wrath or his condemnation. I'm glad it wasn't anything but the fact that God so loved the world. I will utterly consume, verse 2, all things from off the land. So there's two other usages of the word consume. Now remember, this consume is utter destruction. Now, what it is not total annihilation. Now these are some big cemetery words that I'm using, but total annihilation means that when you die, that's it. Well, that's not so. And I'm stealing some of my thunder from the morning message, so we're going to go back through this once again. But as we're here, he says in verse 3, I will consume man and beast. I know, ladies, you're trying to think, well, I'm so perfect, I'm not mentioned here. You might think you're Mrs. Always Right, but I want you to know that the God and Savior I serve is always right. Amen. I hate to burst your bubble, ladies, and I know some fellas that are like that. Jamie and I were somewhere last night, and a young man, he come in there strutting his stuff and this and that, and I was like, I can recognize a little bit of arrogance there. I don't mind super self-confidence, but when you reek of the smell of stubbornness, yeah, well, that too, but of arrogance, and we can all be there, think we're all that, then some in a bag of chips, right? You know, we're better than a Happy Meal kind of idea. Now, this idea to consume man and beast, this is all that's on this earth. It is. I hate to think my puppy dog or Sister Karis, your kitty cats. But can you imagine what the new heaven and the new earth is going to be like? New Jerusalem? Think about that a minute. Karis, I wonder what kind of pets we're going to have later. Maybe, you know, now this is during Nimrod's day. I just ignore it. Anyhow, Nimrod's day, they were known to train leopards. Instead of using a bird dog, they would use a leopard for hunting purposes. Instead of using, and there's other dogs, you can use a feist to squirrel hunt with. I think our first dog that we had when we came here, Sheila, she was Australian Shepherd. Why, she was an Australian squirrel dog is what she was. She liked to chase them squirrels, and I'm thankful she never caught a hold of one. She was old enough that she couldn't run that fast no more. But can you imagine what will be here? I mentioned leopards in that day because, I mean, the Bible even tells us during that thousand-year reign that lions will lay down with the lamb. What an amazing thought. You know, what will it be like? Will it be this and that? I don't know. I just know it's going to be new and it's going to be without sin. Yeah, there is so going to be so peaceful. There won't be that Hakeem Jeffries walking up there and showing his ugliness every time. Or some of the other politicians here lately, the Ilhan Omar, you know what they are? That's a Somali mob is what that is. Instead of the Italian mob, that's in a Somali mob. That's what that is. And they're doing everything they can to destroy you and I. But God's trying to build us up and to use us. And you say, Pastor, you're kind of hard on them. You need to learn how to recognize the enemy. But you also need to recognize the fact if you're not careful, you're part of the enemy, saved or not. I know some saved folks, and Brother Mike Carson talks about the narcissist. They become an enemy to the church. They become an enemy to God. But they don't answer to me. They answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you, it's a scary thing being in the hands of an angry God. Such as some of you sleep. They were even using the Lord's Supper in a wrong manner. And they were dying. Ananias and Sapphira, dead, graveyard dead. And there's others, even Paul. Brother Paul was not supposed to go to Jerusalem. 3 times the Holy Spirit tries to keep him from going. An old prophet even came to him and said, don't you go. But Paul, for some silly, stubborn reason, I really think that Brother Paul was either Canadian or Uper. But I haven't found scripture for that. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Okay. Now listen, by the way, stubbornness is not a Uper thing. Stubbornness is not a Michigander thing. I really think that stubbornness is a German thing. I grew up around them, and I have some German in me. And so thankfully, I'm only a fourth German. So that means I'm only a fourth stubborn as a full-blooded German is. But y'all get my point with this. There's some real ugliness. But he's consuming these things, man and beast. He also mentions here, I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. Boy, I don't know about you, but I'm going to be thankful for that so there's no more stumbling blocks for me to fall over. You know what I'm so thankful for? As a believer, I are not perfect. I am not righteous of my own. I am so many things because of Jesus Christ. And to not have any stumbling blocks, and even myself to be a stumbling block. It's to know that I can't trip myself up no more. That's encouraging. I don't know what clothing. I do know one thing, the white robe of righteousness. We see that in scriptures. And clothing is a righteous thing. What we're wearing, I don't know. But I know we're wearing some clothes of some kind, I would imagine, just from what the Word of God says. But we're going to live in a day where there's no sin. A day where there's no more rags. In a day where there's no more holy socks or underwear. In a day where the shoes don't wear out. But I will tell you right now, if you live right, you'll be amazed how long your shoes will last. I've got a pair of boots over in my closet that Dad gave to me 29 years ago this September. 29 years ago. How many people have got a pair of shoes that's 29 years old? Yeah. My mom, I used to be amazed by her. I say, Mom, how long have you had those tennis shoes? She said, 7 or 8 years. And you know, for a young kid, wow, that's like forever, you know. But God keeps them fresh on you. He says, though, I will consume man and beast, I will consume the fowls of the heavens. Now, Lord, I understand this thought of consuming. But what about the robin and the sparrow? Your eye is always on the sparrow, the songwriter told us. We see that we should consider the lilies of the valley, how they toil not, neither do they spin, how the birds, when they need food, you give them that. But because of sin, God has to destroy it all. Do you realize we have tainted everything? Our sin, your sin and my sin, and the sin of this world from beginning to end, has tainted this world so bad that God has got to consume it all. But what's in the new heaven and the new earth? I wonder, will we hear the eagle screech across the sky as it flies high above? That's what one songwriter said. I wonder, will the robin have its harmonies in the new heaven and the new earth? I'm going to tell you right now, I think I'm just going to think about it and say, you know, I can't wait to get to that new heaven and new earth. Of course, I got a new body coming. Hallelujah for that, right? Anybody else excited about the new body? My dad this morning, for the last 14, 15 months, Sister Rachel, your daddy, if your mom and daddy are gone, if they knew Jesus Christ as their Savior, they're in a new body. When I was with Dad the day before he passed away, his left arm was just swollen because his kidneys aren't doing any good. Congestive heart failure, along with other things going on at 79 years old. And he lived a hard life. He spent many, many days in the jungle of Vietnam fighting a war that should have been fought right, but because the politician was such an idiot. And then when they came home, they were called baby killers and all that because the news media is such a stinking liar. It is amazing to me, like I was home this last time, my cousin David and some others that we saw, and David, boy, you've grown, man, it's good to see you. What are you doing? And I explained to them, yep, we knew that's what the Lord would have you do. And every one of them, sorry to hear your dad's passed away. Oh, I said, no, I'm not sorry. He's got a new body. He's with the Lord Jesus. And he lived, so they would say, yeah, he lived really, really hard and this and that for the Lord saved him. But just in Vietnam and as a Marine, Sister Rachel's daddy's a Marine. I don't know who else has got family that's been military. Your dad. And it changed him, as Grandma Nellie said. But this morning, they don't have to deal with that. Boy, hallelujah. I won't ever have to deal with, I wonder if my back will work today. I wonder what new pains, cracks, and sounds my body will make. Anybody else with me on that? That new body is going to be a blessing. But in that new heaven and earth, just as you and I here today and you're watching, could you imagine what the puppy dogs will be like? I wonder if they'll still chase cats. I wonder if the cats will... I have seen some dog videos where the cat will just come up, the dog will do something, the cat just smack him on the nose. I get a kick out of some of that stuff, and dogs doing silly things. And of course, I seen one the other day. It had to be AI generated. A lady was walking down the street with like 8 or 9 cats, and they're all on leashes. That don't happen. That had to be AI generated. But I wonder, when this earth is consumed, now from a believer's standpoint, we want this to happen. We've been promised new life. We've been promised a new body. We've been promised a new home. We've been promised a new place to praise and worship the Lord Jesus. We've been promised a new earth. We've been promised a new heaven. Hallelujah, it's all going to be new. But it has to be consumed before it can ever be made new. You know, beloved, we see in verse 3, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea. I wonder what fishes will be in that new heaven and new earth.
Well, we got rivers, so maybe bass. I don't know.
It'll be neat to, it'll be neat, won't it? What I wonder is will they talk to me or not? You ever thought about that? Hey, creatures talking the word of God.
Yeah.
Serpent. Balaam's ass. Let's see, what other ones is there? Well, he even said, the Lord Jesus said, unless these ones praise me, the rocks will stand up and cry out. Ain't that something? God's creation. Every time you hear a bird sing, they're praising King Jesus. I remember one writer mentioned with God's creation that the trees grow up and they point up. Why? In order to praise their creator. A flower looks beautiful to praise its creator. Grass grows to praise its creator. Unfortunately, because of sin, we do have the weed. Don't we, though? Somebody made and took it to... Jamie was telling me about this to one of the people in their office. And the little girl was such a blessing. But she had made a bouquet out of daisies.
Oh, that's beautiful.
What's wrong with that? I know. That's what I thought. I thought, well, man, that's a pretty... You know, dandelions. She made another little bouquet of dandelions. They got a pretty yellow to them, don't they? I will consume. So he speaks to the fishes of the sea. Stumbling blocks with the wicked. Wow. To consume that out of the way. I don't know about you, but I am tired of falling as a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm tired of it. I wished I'd get so sick of my sin that I'd stop. And I'm not. And you say, well, that's not a positive reinforcement. That's negative reinforcement. I think you need to understand you got to have both. How do I mean by both? Well, here we're looking at the fact of destruction and condemnation and wrath, correct? But the same God that brought up the idea of consuming and destroying the wicked and destroying this old earth and this old heavens, the same God says in Matthew chapter 11, verse number 28, I believe it is, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, he says, come unto me, all ye that are labored and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. That's the same God. But we got to understand that within ourselves and the rejection of truth and the love of sin and that kind of thing, it leads to the destruction. That's why, listen, friends, there are areas of Chicago that are more dangerous than a third world country. In Chicago, in our own land, there are places that you and I would not walk down. There's places here in Lansing. There's places in Detroit, Grand Rapids. Even in our own country today, there's places we can't go because the wickedness is so thick that they flaunt their guns. We don't need any gun laws. We just need to uphold the ones we got. And these 18 and 19-year-old kids that are waving around this gun and that gun, they need to be behind bars. But the police won't even go down in there. That's what happens over in Dearbornistan. Dearborn Heights. Dearborn, Michigan. The Christians are told in the United States of America, where we're supposed to have all these religious freedoms, that they have to be anywhere from 6 to 10 blocks away from a mosque. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't go into those spots. Why? Because of the wickedness of man. So God's got to remove all this. He says, I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. Verse 4, I will stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Now he comes back to the destruction that he spoke of in the book of Habakkuk. He says, I will cut off the remnant of Baal from this place in the name of the Chimerims with the priest, and let them worship the host of heaven upon the housetops, and them that worship and that swear by the Lord and that swear by Malcolm, and them that are turned back from the Lord, and those that have not sought the Lord nor inquired for him. What does he say? Now he's saying consume. So in our introduction, this book speaks of being cut off. Now, here's something interesting. God cut off his people. He sure did. There's a lot of men and women that when they study this passage, they get their thoughts of losing salvation because God cuts you off. That's not mentioned here. Has nothing to do with loss of salvation. Once an individual has been saved by the Lord Jesus, they're saved forever. Because whatever God doeth, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, he doeth it forever, that for eternally, so and that men will fear him. This is the God of Molech. Yeah, we're going to get into that later. Matter of fact, next week I'll get into verses 4. But I wanted you to see the phrases this morning. The word consume, and now he speaks of cutting off. I've heard a lot of parents say this, well, we're just going to cut them off. Okay, that's great. Does that mean that they stop being a son or a daughter? No, it doesn't. Doesn't mean that at all. Doesn't mean good riddance or any of this. Now, the consuming part is utter destruction. He even mentions that in verse 2, I will utterly consume all things. I'm not going to leave anything about. Now, what are some examples of things that did not get completely consumed? We could go to 1 Samuel when Saul is told to destroy all. And Samuel says, what is the bleeding of the sheep that I hear? You didn't do it. And then later on, because he didn't do it, it looks like someone has escaped. And then later on, we have Haman the Agagite, which is a child of that group. And forgive me, I can't remember if it's Ammon or Moab. It's not one of those two. Forgive me. Amalek. It's Amalek. And Saul was supposed to go in there and destroy all them. And he didn't. And then later on, the Agagite was the head of the Amalekites. That was his term, like we use the term president or whatnot. Then the Bible mentions Haman, the Agagite. Well, how so many years later, and we don't know how many years, could be hundreds of years, could be something like that. Anyway, the point is, why is there now still a descendant of the Amalekite? Well, it's because Saul didn't utterly consume the Amalekites like he was supposed to. God's not like that. God will utterly consume. God will cut off. Look at what he cuts off here. In verse number 3, I will consume man and beast. I will consume the fowls of the heaven and the fishes of the sea and the stumbling blocks with the wicked. And I will cut off man from off the land, saith the Lord. I will also stretch out mine hand upon Judah and upon all the inhabitants of Jerusalem. I will cut off the remnant of Baal. And we're going to look at each one of these next week. But to get the idea, I'm going to cut them off. I'm going to consume them. Beloved, I don't know. I understand that I'm eternally saved. I know that. I understand I'm internally and eternally saved. I know that my sin has been washed away by the blood of Christ. But I'll tell you now, I know that I can make decisions. I can do some things where I'll tell you, it'll feel like I've been cut off from God. You ever feel like your prayer doesn't get any higher than the ceiling? Well, that's foolishness for one thing. But that feeling might be there's something between you and God. That's why it's important to repent and keep short accounts. Keep short accounts. God, forgive me for that. God, forgive me for that. I'm still waiting on the day that Ray comes in and says, God, forgive me for being a Wolverine fan. But I don't know if that'll ever happen. I've said this before, Lord, forgive me for being a Cubs fan. And then they won 10 in a row. I know it. I was like, wow. You know, God's no more interested in our sports teams. He really isn't. But I am thankful that he's interested in human beings. Do you understand that one? this consuming, Bible says it's consuming fire, then this cutting off, now, to finish Sunday school, now you understand the terminology of mercy, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness. The fruits of the Spirit that He wants to produce through us, He's already doing as God, 100% holy. Mercy. Of course, we understand that the definition of mercy is not God not giving us what we deserve. And grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Like a great wife that I have in Jamie, she's on an airplane right now. She's supposed to get on that plane. Her and her boss are going out to Aaron. Pray for Miss Aaron. Her and her husband, what a tremendous couple. They're saved, love the Lord. And she's going through a lot. And I told Aaron she got to take care of my honey. Aaron says, no, she's the martial artist. I'm going to let her take care of me. But what I like about him is Aaron's very feisty. And I'm starting to notice Jamie get a little bit like that. I just think that's old age, personally. But anyway, she's not here to defend herself. And if you say anything, I'll lie about it. I will. We don't deserve each other. But then again, God makes it so that we can enjoy each other and see the benefit of each other. You know, I think that's missing in the church. Do you realize the benefit that Ray Mills is to us? Do you realize the benefit that Miss Catherine is to us? Do you ever realize the benefit of, all right, I won't say Karis, but anyway, I think in most churches, and I pray it's never going to be in here, but we take each other for granted. We do. I didn't get my weekly call to Sister Karis. I usually call Friday on Friday. Things get busy. Things get crazy. We can still pray for each other and have an appreciation for one another. Father, we thank you for the Sunday school time. Pray it's been a help as we introduce Zephaniah once again, looking at the word consume and cut off. And I'd ask you, Father, that you'd help us to understand the Word of God that we can rightly divide. In Jesus' name, amen.